Book of Genesis. Good to see everybody tonight. Hopefully the storm didn't bother you too bad coming in. And appreciate you being in your place as we continue our study on taking time to quiet your soul, study written by Jim Berg. If you are at home, you can go online to quietinganoisysoul.com and get the printout that goes with this lesson, the outline. You just go to the menu bar and it should come up pretty easily there, outline to the sessions. And we're in session 17, Overcoming Your Anxiety and Fear, Part 1. And let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for letting us be together tonight, and we are grateful. Lord, you are so sweet to us. Lord, you're perfect and precious. And tonight we gather in your name, thanking you for saving us. And Lord, Lord, please help us to understand your word tonight. Lord, in this subject of fear and anxiety, oh God, that's something we all can relate to because we all deal with it in different ways. Every day. And so, Lord, would you help us to combat this this thinking biblically and to be filled with the Spirit of God, to be filled with your assurance and your peace, Lord, and your joy. And God Almighty will give you the thanks for how you work even tonight in our service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, you have your place there in Genesis 3. I'm just going to read a couple verses that we read last week, but this is the foundational verse as we understand what took place there in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord. Notice with me verses 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Of course, God knew exactly where he was. The question was for Adam, not for God. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. You ought to underline that right there in your Bible, that phrase, I was afraid. This is the first time that they had experienced the emotion of fear. First time because of sin. It was right there. I was afraid. You see, before sin, there was no fear in the garden. There was no fear of sickness. There was no fear of being attacked by another human being. There was no fear of being attacked by an animal. There was no fear of that sort. There was no fear or vulnerability of their lives being in danger. It just did not exist. But when sin took place, that moved in immediately. And he says, I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. And so that's what we're talking about, is how do we overcome this anxiety and fear? Well, last week we talked about letter A, understanding the nature of your emotions. That's that right there in your outline. We went through those. The nature of your emotions. What exactly are we talking about there? Well, emotions are bodily sensations. They're feelings triggered by changes in body chemistry. And that is the key. If you look in your outline there, A, B, C, and D, that is what it's referring to. What brings this change to body chemistry? And so we talked about, number one, it can be bodily disease and trauma. That can change body chemistry and affect the feelings. Also, ingested chemicals can change it. Behavior changes it. And then letter D is where we will be and going to continue to go tonight, and also to verses number 2 and 3 in your outline. But D is thoughts change your body chemistry. Thoughts change your body chemistry. So, to start off tonight, we have to realize that this is probably the main thing that changes our body chemistry. This is probably the main thing that brings about the feelings or emotions that we have in our life. It's what we're thinking about. So how can we bring this down to our study tonight and just thinking about it? Well, you know, let me just say this. For instance, if you were coming in tonight like I was, or earlier, just an hour or two ago, coming in through that storm, we had some heavy rain. And it was a quick rain, but heavy rain, and there were pretty big puddles, significant puddles on the road. And I always think about it, especially when I'm coming down Jefferson River Road, that in that one curve up here, as I think about the danger of hydroplaning coming around that. And you know, there are certain things in our life that we've experienced even that. Has anybody here ever hydroplaned before, where you hit a puddle and just the car? Yeah, it can be very scary. But when you have that take place, there is some serious body chemistry in your life that starts changing. I mean, and it changes immediately when you lose control like that on the hydroplaning. And it's like your body, and it's the way God created you, your body is saying, we have an emergency. And that's good. That is good in the sense the way God has created us and designed us. But we do have to realize that even something like that, where did it start? It started in my thinking. It started in realizing what can take place when a car loses control. That's why that fear, that's why that feeling, I should say, kicks in and takes over. You know, have you ever been, you guys come on in. Have you ever been in a situation where someone, you're going down the road and it's a two-lane highway, and then somebody's coming from the opposite direction who is in your lane because they're trying to pass the car in front of them, and you're coming head on? Is anybody else? We'll let you guys get seated because they're just so impressed by you guys coming in. So everybody's heads is looking at you guys over here. But that is indeed a scary feeling, is it not? When you're going down the road and you realize somebody is just making a pass on the other vehicle and they're right in your lane and they're headed right towards you. Man, you talk about a feeling of getting butterflies in your stomach and man, body chemistry changing, adrenaline starts moving in your body. Because why? Your body is going into emergency mode. And one of the things that I'm, you know, learning even more and more as I study this, but even as our walk with the Lord, those things are natural. That is a natural defense that God has built into our system. But what happens many times in life, we allow those feelings of anxiety come into our life by things that are not supposed to be bothering us, which the main one is that we understand is unbelief. That basically God is out of control. He is not enough. He is not controlling this situation. I am not satisfied. I am not content. Therefore, anxiety comes in, and the body chemistry changes because of the way I'm thinking about God and about how God is moving in my life at this time. It is indeed something we look at tonight and think about. What else can thoughts do? Well, we know that thoughts can change body chemistry. Because has anybody ever heard of someone here getting high blood pressure because they watch the news? Yeah, I think it does happen. In fact, I was talking to somebody the other day, and he was being serious. I know we say it jokingly, but he said, my blood pressure started going up because of what I was seeing on the news. And it was messing with my body. You know, not only that, but we know that there are other things that can happen. You know, you've heard of perhaps, maybe you've experienced ulcers because of the way you had anxiety in your life. And that doesn't mean just every time you get an ulcer, doesn't mean it's because you're worrying too much, but it can have that effect. It can change your body. We've heard of people, having heart attacks because, they get so angry. We've heard of that happening, and it does take place. We've heard of panic attacks where somebody gets so overwhelmed with what they're thinking about and God is not in the equation of Him being enough and sovereign and working and good, and there's panic attacks. What is that? That is the body chemistry changing because of the way we're thinking, the way we're processing this situation in our life. So, let me direct you to the next point here. Number two, under letter A, we have emotions are like the warning lights on the dashboards of our cars. They indicate there is a problem under the hood with our thoughts. So, some of you may have experienced this that are driving right now. Some of you young people will be driving soon if you're not already. And you see that check engine light come on. Service light. That is something that is telling you that you need to get your oil changed, or if the little engine light pops up, man, you got an engine problem. And so it's an indicator of something that is taking place inside your car, inside the engine. Well, that is what feelings are. Feelings or emotions are simply indicators. They're not the problem. Feelings are natural. Thank God for emotions, but how boring would life be without emotions? Emotions are created by God. But the problem is a lot of times we blame our problems on our emotions. And we blame it on our emotions, but really, emotions are only indicators of what is under the hood, if you will. What is taking place in the heart or in the soul, as we refer to it, the soul of the person. And so think of it this way. When we're going through life, it would be crazy for me to say, going down the road, now it could be a possibility because there's no perfect illustration in this sense, but let's just say, boy, the engine light comes on and I automatically assume without even giving any other thought, oh, that's just the dashboard problem. I don't need to check into that. It's just the dashboard problem. And then more lights come on like it did with my truck one time. One light came on and I'm like, oh man, maybe this, I can make it through this. And then several other lights come on and I knew there was something going on. And then I went into limp mode with the truck and it wouldn't hardly go over a speed. And I was like, I know, we got some serious problems going on. But nevertheless, it would be crazy for me not to give attention to that light. And it's the same way, because I don't have a dash light problem, if you will. The problem is deeper. What am I thinking about? What is causing these emotions that I'm having? Emotions of anger, anxiety, which we'll get into anger at another time. But the emotion of fear. What is truly causing that? Well, let me notice here a couple things as we look at number three. While thoughts of the heart change body chemistry and therefore feelings, understand this, no body chemistry generates thoughts. You should underline that. No body chemistry generates thoughts. Thoughts always originate in the heart. And that's why we're going through this. We're trying to get our thinking straight. That's why we want to know God. That's why we want our conclusions to be upon what does God say in this matter. It's not about the way I'm feeling at the time, because our feelings can be so deceiving. And so we need to be careful on that. Now, let me draw your attention on a couple thoughts here as we think about letter B, understanding the source of your fear. Understanding the source of your fear. Now, we see anxiety is a subset of the broader emotion of fear. Now, we saw already the emotion of fear is a result of the fall. Since the fall, fear is helpful. Fear is helpful and not sinful. When, notice, it serves as a caution to alert us to physical and spiritual danger. It serves as a catalyst to motivate us to physical or spiritual readiness. So there's the good use. But notice number four under letter B. When is fear sinful? So when can we say that it's wrong to be full of fear? Well, it's when our unbelief will allow anxiety to stop us from fulfilling biblical responsibilities. When we allow that, you catch that? Fear becomes sin when we allow unbelief, our belief about who God is, when we allow it to keep us from fulfilling our biblical responsibilities, which the will of God. And it's basically when we just have lost control. You may just think of some examples on your own, but you know, it comes down to, maybe even for some of us, it's the thought of, I don't want to lose control. This situation's, I'm not going to have full control over, so it's that idea of being vulnerable. Perhaps it may look like a dad not going to work when he is capable, when he is physically capable, and he won't go to work and fulfill a responsibility that he has as a husband or a father, and because he thinks he's going to get hurt. He thinks he's going to get hurt working, so he stays home and ends up neglecting his responsibility for providing for his family. You see, it's his thoughts that are triggering a emotion of fear that's keeping him from fulfilling the will of God. Maybe it's a mom who won't let her kids go to camp because they're afraid that the kids may fall and get hurt and break an arm. So therefore, the kid can't go to camp to be challenged spiritually, to grow spiritually, because there's these thoughts that are cause anxiety. Perhaps it's maybe when a mother refuses to go grocery shopping because she's afraid that she's going to have a wreck on the way to the store. You know, things like that do happen. Maybe somebody saying, I don't want to go to church because I don't want everybody looking at me. You know, it's like the idea of, hey, there's this feeling of anxiety that comes from a thought of, man, people are thinking this about me, when that's just not true. It's not biblical thinking. It's based off of fear. And people miss the will of God that way and miss fulfilling biblical responsibilities. Now, we could go on. We could go with a long list, but there are thousands of scenarios that cause this emotion of paranoia, and that we also call anxiety. So again, we cannot blame anxiety on our bodies. Okay? We must realize that anxiety originates in our thinking. What do we think about God and how He is able to help us in this situation? I know young people, y'all haven't been in for the series. You're kind of coming in right in the middle. So some of this may be a little bit of a blur to you. But let's quote tonight. Let's quote what our statement is, that God Himself is enough. All right. So God Himself is more than enough for me. And that is what we always come back to for every single situation. Young people, and this goes for adults too, this everybody here, you know, something that can take place with our anxiety is that we are looking perhaps on social media, and we see something that is either directed towards us or in some way sparks a spirit of anger. What does that do in the body? That will perhaps provoke and cause adrenaline to go. And then the heart rate increases. And then what happens, many times people lose control. But it all started when they looked at this certain post or whatever was done, whether it was directed towards them or not, or whether it's just a situation, and they allowed their emotions to control them. That is not what Christians are to do. We are controlled by our thoughts and what we think about the Lord. It's interesting, Jim Berg noted, that the Bible doesn't tell us to control our emotions. It tells us to control our thoughts. And another reason we realize how important it is, what are you thinking about all day? You know? What am I thinking about? What am I thinking about in light of the news? What am I thinking about this sickness or that's perhaps coming to my life or a certain trial? What am I meditating upon even in that? We know that it's our thoughts that God tells us to control, because the Bible says in Proverbs, as a man thinks, so is he. So get this right, and this is something we all have to agree on if we believe the Bible. If our thoughts are right, our emotions will be right. Does anybody agree with that statement? Amen. If our thoughts are correct, our emotions will be correct in honoring the Lord in that way. Now, again, emotions are of the Lord, but they are within the boundaries of how we are thinking properly, and they should be used in the sense of thinking of who God is and what He is able to do. You know, I think of a situation. I don't know, has anybody been to the top of the CN Tower in Toronto? All right, a couple of you. It's Brother David, it's pretty amazing, isn't it, Eliana? It is one of the things that is that it's most known by is the glass floors. All right. Now this tower is 2,000 feet tall. It is a tall tower, and you get in there, and they got a restaurant up top and everything. And I remember going up, and my friend was telling me, "Oh, you're going to love this glass floor," and I'm thinking, I don't know if I'm going to love that glass floor or not. Now, some of you that are afraid of heights, you're already having butterflies in your stomach as I'm telling this story, I'm sure. But anyway, you know, I get up there, and it is the weirdest thing. And I totally am not comfortable almost the whole time I'm up there, until I got into the restaurant part, and thank God that it was covered and I could not see through the floor. I'm thankful I can enjoy my meal. But you know what the difference was? The difference really was not the being able to see it or the floor. In other words, the difference was where my thinking was. Where was my thinking being concentrated? I was thinking about how I can see the bottom there. Now, when I was up there and could not see, I was still in the same position. Maybe there was a piece of carpet over it. But the fact of the matter is, it was still just as strong and founded, if you will. But I tell you what, when I think about the space between me and the ground, I had feelings of anxiety. And you know what the glass floor reminded me of is how vulnerable I am. I truly am vulnerable. And there are times in life where we do realize we're vulnerable, but we realize we're in the care of God. We have God's watch care. We have God's provisions, God's watch sight, God's guidance, God's leading. Let me say this here. Brother Berg mentioned that you cannot sustain the emotion fear without thinking about your vulnerability. And that alone. You cannot sustain that emotion of fear without thinking about continuously your vulnerability. But the opposite is true. You know, you think upon the Lord and you think upon your situation, even with your vulnerability, that fear is going to dissipate. That fear is going to go away. Also think about the emotion of bitterness. You may struggle with the bitterness of anger because of what someone did to you. You cannot sustain the emotion of bitterness without thinking about how somebody has wronged you. So anytime you are dealing with forgiving somebody, what the problem is you continually think about what they've done to you. Therefore, there's a continual emotion of anger and bitterness. A positive way is it goes the same way. Those are negative, but we can also think upon the fact of thinking of a positive aspect. All right? There's that negative aspect. What about positive? You know, rejoicing, as the Bible says, rejoice always. Count your blessings. See that perspective. And what does that provoke in our hearts and minds? Well, it provokes feelings of peace, feelings of contentment, feelings of joy. You know, I'm going to give you just a little bit of perspective here, even for you that are married here. In your marriage, you think about your spouse. If you think about how blessed you are by your spouse, and how much you appreciate that spouse, and how much they mean to you, and how they have blessed you, and how God has brought them into your life. Listen, those are going to be feelings of joy and contentment, and that's going to strengthen that marriage. But the opposite is true. If you have a critical spirit towards your spouse, and you look at all the ways that they've offended you, and all the things they don't do, guess what that's going to do? That is going to drive anxiety right into that marriage. And it's going to push it further and further and further apart. But it all can be traced back to your thinking of that individual and what they have done to you, for you, whatever the case may be. So let me just say to you married couples out here, and when you think of your spouse, you need to think upon the ways that they have blessed you, how much you love them and appreciate them. And that will bring contentment. It will, because of your thinking of biblically in a way that would honor the Lord. Well, as you look there in number 3, give some verses there that I'd like for you to go and look at another time, but it goes back to the foundation of our thoughts always originating in the heart. And that is why God holds us responsible for our thoughts. We'll give an account for them. And it's something to be reminded of very often. So, it's a mistake to always focus on how we feel. How are you feeling tonight? Maybe if you came to me tonight and say, "Pastor, I feel terrible." What I would say, well, listen, the scriptural focus is, I understand this is the way you may be feeling. But really, the question I need to ask you is, what are you thinking on? What am I thinking on when I have thoughts of anxiety? So next time we'll pick up on our next point there, letter B. We'll get into a little bit more of that. Actually, we'll pick up in letter C in our outline, reviewing the path from unbelief to anxious thoughts. Would you pray with me?